Billionaire, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. And I am convinced that this is a truth that each one of us has within us, a very special, wonderful gift that we bring to this planet. And somehow or other, by the time they get us housebroken and get us to the point where we can live according to society's rules, those gifts are kind of put onto the back burner. And as I work with other people, and as we work together and reach out toward each other in this very special time in the world's history, we are beginning to encourage each other to find our own gifts and our own abilities. My guest this evening is David Thompson, whose life has gone through many, many changes, and who has so much to give to the planet that I can't wait to begin to talk with him. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mary. I'm glad to be here.
You know, and let's kind of begin with how you started out. What was life like when you were young and not in charge of your own future?
Well, I'm now 28 years old. I used to live in San Diego, California, and I was surrounded by a lot of negative people. I mean, everywhere I turned, there was negativity. So I ended up, like, embodying that and acting in a way that I had, I was not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, I have to say, like about 3 years ago, I came here to Connecticut, and I came across some really positive people and some great ideas, and I started to dive into metaphysics and spiritualism,
uh-huh.
And it changed my life completely.
Was there anything unusual or dramatic that caused you to leave California and go to Connecticut?
Well, no, I just came to California basically to see my family.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot of things going on in between there. I have to say, it has to be a divine blessing to be able to come from over there, to come to this kind of situation, because like I was saying before,
It's a little hard to hear you. Can you move to a little better place?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Hear you fine now. Did anything happen to you in California that made you decide to move to Connecticut?
No, it was just basically family, and I was just saying that I was blessed to be out of that situation because, there's a lot of negativity over there, like I was saying.
Uh-huh.
And I grew so much since I've been here.
Uh-huh. So how did you find the change to go step out from that negativity and into your new life?
Well, Mary, I'll tell you, it took some time. It really did. Because when you're in that, it's so hard to just turn around and see yourself, you know?
I know. And it just happens. It happens so gradually when you grow up with it that you don't even know. It's kind of like the the experiment they do with frogs, where they put them into warm water and then keep adding hot water a drop at a time until the frog gets used to it and gets parboiled, you know. Whereas if you just throw it into the hot water all of a sudden, they would know it. But when it kind of adds up a drop at a time, you're deep into it before you even know. Is that can you relate to that?
I definitely can, because let me put it like this. Even when I moved from the West Coast to the East Coast, I moved to Rhode Island. Providence,
uh-huh.
Rhode Island. Let me just state
right.
that. And
uh-huh.
I was like, all right, I'm finally out of this situation. There's not a lot of gangs and there's not a lot of violence over here. Maybe I could just slow down and just take it easy.
Uh-huh.
Then I started to get into trouble also in Providence. And it just started to creep up slowly, like really, really slowly. And I started to notice I became a different person. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't like that person that I seen. And I was fortunate enough to be able to dive into something like mixed martial arts to get some of that negativity out of myself.
Oh, that was
and,
good.
Oh, definitely. Then I got all these fears out of me, out of the physical vessel. All that stress, I got it out of the physical vessel, so my mind could start to calm down also.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blessed to have a dad that took Tai Chi, and he used to always tell me, like, David, just listen to me. Before you do one of these competitions, just meditate. I was like, yeah, okay. When I get to it, you know, just being a knucklehead, not listening. finally, I took his advice and I sat down and I meditated. And I was in like a room full of fighters. And you got to imagine, like, these are young guys. They got all this anxiety about to go out there and perform in front of them. Like,
and lots and lots of testosterone, huh?
Oh, yeah. So. And I still was able to sit there and quiet my mind, and I meditated, and I went so deep. And it was incredible. Like, I did not expect to experience what I experienced. Like, I happened to see, like, images of the fight. Like, at the time, I didn't know what it was, you know?
Sure,
like,
sure. It just hit you out of nowhere, huh?
Oh, yeah. They were just flashes. And I was like, okay, these are just ideas. You know, I'm just throwing ideas out there in the wind. And maybe, you know, I'm just trying to put the fight together in my mind before I go out there,
mm-hmm.
prepare myself or whatnot. Then after the fight was over, I was like, oh, my God. Like, the meditation didn't show me exactly what happened, but it showed me how it was going to happen, if you get what I'm saying.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And then
I hear you.
From that point, like, I just kind of dived in, you know. I was just like, I need to know a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you begin to meditate regularly, or how did that happen?
Well, after that day, I was like, all right. I really didn't know much about meditation, but I just knew that I wanted to do it. So I went on the internet and I did a little research, and I found a program. And they started to talk about out-of-body experiences. And I was like, what is out-of-body experiences?
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of that before.
Mm-hmm.
So as I start to read, it explains the astral body comes out of the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And being the guy that I am.
You didn't even know you had an astral body, huh?
Oh, no. I was like, whoa, that sounds cool. I'm so used to comic books and having to watch movies to get that kind of effect. And I was like, oh, wow, this is possible. Let me give it a go. So I listened to the instructions. And like I said, this was the first time. Like if you go on YouTube and you look this up, you'll probably hear a lot of people saying that it's hard. So I was never told that it was hard.
Exactly.
So I thought, that, okay.
Uh-huh.
So I laid down in the bed and I did the method that they showed. I just tried to imagine seeing myself. And then the next thing I know, I was standing through my bed.
Okay. Well, it's a very interesting thing that you just brought up, because when you're told it's going to be hard, then you assume it's going to be hard, and it becomes hard. But when you were just a natural. You went into it like an innocent babe, just following the instructions that were there. And without any expectations, just going through and saying, this is how to do it, and I'm just going to do it, and it worked. Is that amazing?
It's a beautiful thing.
It sure is. So there are too many rules in this world, and too many rules about how you have to do things. And I
totally agree.
I love it. That you just were such a natural and got into it. And plenty of other people are sitting there with barbed wire that people set up in front of them, thinking that they were so wise and knew the rules. And when you get right down to it, there are no rules.
No. Like, I think that, there's easier ways. You know, and advice is always great, but when it comes down to it, everybody has a little differentness to them. They have a little uniqueness to themselves.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And too many of the teachers, I think, try to get you to do it their way. And it doesn't work. And then you think, I must be no good at this. But when the way you did it is amazing. So what happened when you came out from that first astral trip that was so mind-blowing for you?
Well, I was standing like through my bed and through my body simultaneously.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, wow, I'm out. I didn't like fully take it in. I was like, all right, this must be like a dream, or maybe I'm half awake or something. Like,
yeah.
What is going on? Then, so I step back, and I'm walking through my bed, and I step back, and I walk through the wall. Once I walk through the wall, that's when it hit me. I was like, this is real. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm in my living room, and it's exactly how it is. Like, I didn't, like, memorize my living room exactly how I seen it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the details, and the proof is in the pudding.
Sure. So, then what did you do?
After that, I was lucky enough that I just walked right back through the wall, and I laid back in my body. And I say that I'm lucky because now after doing research, like if you're out too long, like I heard that your energy gets weak and you don't remember. And if you don't remember, then you can never record the experience. And if you can't record the experience, it's hard to do it again.
That too is something that if you believe it, it's true. And if you don't believe it, then you'll have a different experience. But normally, I would say that it's safer to do something with someone that you trust. But it worked for you. So when was the next time you decided to do this, or what did you tell anybody about it?
I think I just told my girlfriend at the time.
Okay. And what was her reaction?
She took it in. She accepted that, and she was like, "Oh, wow, that's pretty cool." And she tried it herself. I don't think she got far with it.
Uh huh.
But look at this. That was a couple of years back, and she happened to call me about, I think 6 years later, 5 years later.
Uh huh.
She said, "Hey, I want to talk to you." I was like, "Why? What's going on?" She was like, "Well, I kind of took a nap, right? And I found myself out of my body. Everything was glowing. Like, what's that all about?" She said, "Yeah, I called you because the last time you were talking about that with me, and you were, like, looking up that so much." So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Isn't it amazing? See, even just the being able to talk to you made it work better for her.
Yeah, and I also believe that, like, once people have the information and they know things like this exist, now it's in their consciousness, and
yeah.
Without without them trying to, like, force it to happen. It's
mm-hmm.
going to spontaneously happen eventually. And with the more people knowing it, once it becomes a collective knowing that this is possible, it'll be so easy to do that, it'll be incredible.
Well, this is phenomenal. So then, when did you begin to work with other people in the work that you're doing now?
Well, 3 years ago, that's when I came to Norwich, and I fell upon a practicing spiritualist church. I went there. Let me just throw this out there. I'm not with organizations. I'm not really into that. But I went there because they was teaching about consciousness.
Uh-huh.
So I dived into some psychic classes, some Reiki classes, all the above.
Yeah.
And since that point, I've been working with them. I've been speaking to some of their people, giving speeches and lectures.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you can say for about 3 years, I've been working with other people with I guess if you want to call it the paranormal.
Yeah, well, you know, para is above,
mm-hmm.
and and what is known as normal is in our society, I think, is the least normal that you can get.
I believe it. I say that all the time.
Yeah, it's like they try to turn us into performing bears and doing tricks and doing things that they think are a good thing for us to do, and this is without even knowing who we are.
It's true, and I think that it should be different, because the people, like, these are just my opinions right here, that the people that run this nation, they know all about this, and they're deep into it on another level beyond our understanding.
Uh-huh.
But they keep us from it, and they try to train us to when these conversations come up, when these events happen, like, it's something that shouldn't be talked about. This is not normal. This doesn't fit into society, and it's not logical. Just throw it out the window. And hopefully one day we can all come together and bring the truth out.
Well, yes, and the interesting thing is throughout history, there have been those who had secret knowledge. They had the mystery schools. They had the priests. They had they had all of the people that tried to keep the secrets all to themselves, so that it would make them more powerful. And you're saying that you feel that this is just more of the same.
Yeah, exactly. And it's weird enough that they talk about the Egyptians like, oh, they didn't say the Egyptians were savages. They give them the respect that they was very intelligent, but all the writings, they say, oh, well, those were just stories and they was very creative. But at the same time, like people like Alexander the Great went there to study. And all of these great minds, the greatest minds that was recorded back in the day, went there to study.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But then we still say it's nonsense. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's fairy tales, it's legends, it's wishful thinking. It's all they tell you a little bit of everything, whatever comes out of their mouth sometimes, to try to convince you that what you're doing and what you're feeling is just your imagination or wishful thinking or something. But so anyway, when you started working with people, what happened? What came out? How did people respond to it? I know that when you are in the energy, when there are many people that are working on the same toward the same vibration, that everything intensifies. So how did this work with you?
I had experiences like that, and we had healing sessions.
Okay.
We would go to the in the church that I was just talking about. They would have a period of healing, and I became one of the healers. And people said things about it, but until I experienced it, I didn't fully understand. Mm-hmm. So I was doing Reiki on some person, and I really went deep. Only had one thought, it was just to heal. Cleared my mind. Then the next thing I know, in my third eye, I seen an entity come to the side of me, and I think it was a female. I can't remember the exact first one, but I think it was a female, and they assisted me with my healing. The healing became very, very intense. My hands was very hot. Like the person felt it. The person started to cry as I was doing it. It was really intense. Then after that, I just told them that there was somebody here for them, and that they send their love. Yeah, I think that was first time I experienced that. That was huge. It really gave me some more confidence in what I was doing.
Right. So as you worked with other people, you began to feel the energy flowing through you, and you did feel the spirit presence. Was there anything that you began to do with other things like crystals and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. With crystals, to tell you the truth, a citrine crystal, if I have to say it, was the thing that trained me. I put this necklace on. I didn't know anything about crystals. Somebody gave me a word about it. I laughed it off because I said, this is just the rock. It's not going to do anything for me. But if you're selling it, okay, I'll give it a shot. You're a good person. I wore it for about like 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Then I started to feel extreme vibrations. Like every once in a while, I felt a vibration over my head. Like, and it, the feeling was the shape of a ball.
Uh-huh.
At the time, I had no understanding of like chakra points and things like that. So I was like, "What's going on?"
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I was feeling like this hot, like tingly, like, you know, like when you're very excited. I was always having that feeling. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
So when I went to do Reiki or to do readings, I noticed that it was extremely intense. It was extremely intense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never figured that it came from the crystal until I took it off one day and I started moving it like a pendulum.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know how you hang it and you make
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like
sure.
Like push it with your psyche. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Then I was feeling the vibration come from the crystal. Then I did some research on it. For those that don't know much about crystals, crystals are living entities. They hold such a high
They're
vibration.
Alive, yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the minerals inside of them, they all have their own different characteristics.
Exactly.
And once you come in contact with one of these crystals, they're just like tuning forks.
Mm-hmm.
So it will tune you to their high-frequency vibration. And that's what it was doing for me, because at the time, I have to say, I was depressed. And that was one of the best crystals to get you out of that state. So I was blessed to be transformed by a little stone.
Yeah, well, you know, when I work with crystals, I connect with the healing source and the creative energy of the universe. And I literally pull it down and charge the crystal, which the crystal can then be even more powerful.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So probably without your knowing, by wearing that necklace as you did, the spirits that are working with you help to charge it and so that you and the spirit of the stone became one, you know. So it got attuned to your energy and your energy so that it would not do the same thing with another person, because it was tuned right into your energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I definitely believe that. Like, all the crystals work different for each individual. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other crystals, they didn't have the same effect. They had effects, but just not that one.
Uh-huh, yeah. So then what happened next? After you were tuned in to the crystals, what next was gifted to you from spirit? Because I think of it as gifts from spirit.
Next, on my course, I met a lot of good people in this organization. Once again, there was a lot of people that practiced this day in, day out. They had a lot of knowledge.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was my buddy named Steve. He was an older guy. He's in his 60s right now. And
uh-huh.
He's fantastic when it comes to doing mediumship work. So that was the guy that I wanted to talk to, brush up on my skills.
Mm-hmm.
So back to what we was talking about later, like I had bought some, I don't know if you ever heard about the herb mugwort.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
I bought some mugwort. I had no idea what was going to happen, but I threw it under my pillow. And I also had a cactus crystal, a fairy tale cactus crystal, something like that, and I threw that under my pillow also.
Okay.
Went to sleep. Then I woke up and I looked up and I was like, oh, wow, what is that? It was like a shadowy figure. So I closed my eyes again. I'm like, okay, this is a dream. And then go back to sleep. Then I think like 30 minutes later, I opened up my eyes again, and the same figure is still floating on top. And I feel like a presence like behind me. But at the same time, I felt one of my guides were in the bed with me on my my right-hand side. So I rolled to the right-hand side, and I went to sleep hoping that all of these occurrences were just dreams.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I woke up again, and on my bed was an entity with this hand on my leg, staring at my face. I was like, oh, wow. Then, boom, I passed out. I woke up again, and the same entity was there, and it seemed like he was coming out of something, like some kind of thing that was behind my, where my TV was supposed to be. It wasn't there. But it came through the wall.
Uh-huh.
And like, let me put this out there so people can be aware of the situation. I was in a lucid state.
Sure.
Out of body state every time these waking occurrences was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I come out of body once again, and this entity floats close to me, and something makes me grab under my pillow and take the crystal and touch him. I touched him. And he started to crack like lava in the ground. And he just cracked all over and he like disintegrated. But it seemed like he disintegrated and at the same time like a piece of him floated into my bathroom. Like it was weird. Like my third eye can capture like a upwards view and
mm-hmm.
see into my bathroom at the same time.
Okay.
Then the next thing I know, I pass out again. I'm still feeling like this is a dream. I was like, wow, this is wild. Like, I ain't never experienced anything like this.
Yeah.
But this was the candle on the cake right here.
How were you feeling? Were you feeling in danger? Were you feeling euphoric? Were you feeling a little frightened? What was your emotional state at that time?
Well, the first waking occurrences with the black shadow, I was
uh-huh.
a little nervous. Then when I woke up the second time, I felt safe because my guide was there.
Uh-huh.
Then when I seen the entity near my leg, there was no thought, because when you're in the astral plane, your thoughts are very slow. You know exactly what's going on. It's like, it's a different experience. It's like more
yeah.
real than reality.
You don't have any words. It just is.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, but then what happened? The next occurrence, I woke up. My legs were stiff. My arms were stiff, and I was sitting straight up. So you got to imagine this. My arms are out, my legs are out, and I'm floating straight off my bed.
Okay.
And I'm going towards the glass. So I just
uh-huh.
spontaneously came out of my body. I'm like, oh, wow, now it all clicked.
Yeah, wow. Uh-huh.
Then I swing my arm because I didn't want to go in the mirror. I was just hearing things about that. So then I floated past my bed, and this was the odd thing. Like, I was looking to see my body, and I was telling myself in my head, I said it one time, I said, if I see my body, I'm not going to panic. I'm
mm-hmm.
just going to observe it and continue on. So I floated by. I didn't see my body in the bed, but I floated right through the door, and as soon as I went through the door, boom, I was in the bathroom, and that scene entity was in the bathroom. And he was telling me, send me back through the portal. Then I blacked out and I woke up in the morning. Like, but here it even goes to another level. That same guy, Steve, he came over one day and he says, oh yeah, I'm gonna show you how to, you know, tap in and get in tune. He came in my room. He walked to the area where the portal was supposed to be. And he stood back and he was like, whoa. He fell on my bed. He was like, there's a lot of energy coming from here. And I was like, oh my God, that wasn't a dream. I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was like the biggest experience that I had starting out. That
yeah, it was
really,
real confirmation. It was sometimes we need proof, don't we?
Yeah, because even when a little experience has happened, you try to rationalize it and throw it out the window because you're like, no, there's no way that happened.
Yeah, I know what you mean. you try to talk yourself out of it. You try to be normal a little bit, you know.
I'm telling myself everything in the book, oh, it was a dream, oh, this happened, or I don't know, maybe I was watching too many movies. That when he said that, oh, man, that just blew me off my feet.
Yeah, I hear you. So now that you have that knowledge, what do you do with it?
Well, me and particularly, I got a YouTube page, and I talk about my experiences, and I even give tips.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I said before, the more people that know, the easier it would be for people to just go to the astral plane and be able to experience more of their self.
Yeah. Well, now, really, going to the astral plane, how did it change you, and why did you feel that it was so important to share with other people?
Well, it changed me because it just let me know that I was on the right path. And
okay,
that even when people say that, oh, don't go into that, don't look that up, those are fairy tales. I've seen it for myself. I was there. Like, nobody has to tell me yes or no. I now know for 100% fact that is there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when I get on the YouTube, for other people that have these experiences, because like I just said, I spontaneously came out. A lot of people have these experiences, and they don't even know what's going on, and they get afraid.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Yes, they do.
To be able to explain that to people and to calm them down, and, hey, maybe they can enjoy it, or maybe they can help somebody else out that's going through the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes people just practice and practice and practice, and they just don't get anywhere until they hear somebody's experience.
Yeah, or they actually, you know, you can transmit that energy. In my spiritual development classes, sometimes people would say, you know, I practiced for 2 years for automatic writing, for example, and after a 2-hour meditation, I got a third of a page, and I would say, "Well, hold on, let me sort of tune into you and see if I can transfer some energy into you and see what'll happen." And like they would do a page and a half in 20 minutes, you know, instead of a third of a page in 2 hours. You know, but that's what we have to share with each other. And to me, if I give the energy, I don't expect the other person to do anything special. I wait to see what it's going to bring out in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just the opposite of most people. They give you the rules. You do this, and then you do this, and you do this, and you do this for 15 minutes, and then you turn and you do that, and you can't do this, and you have to do that. And the thing that I love about your story is that you didn't have any rules.
Yeah.
The energy that wonderful spirit came pouring through you, and you said, "Wee, this is great," and you didn't question it. You didn't say, "Is there something wrong here? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? What should I do next?" You just let it happen and let it flow through you. And it was so natural, and this is just very exciting. It really is. So when you worked with the herbs, how do you help other people with herbs? Have you shared all that with other people?
Yeah, I had at one point offered that on my site, but I don't anymore. But
okay.
I also have, like, friends. Like, I would meditate with them. And, like, some people, they think that, you know, oh, yeah, that's all cool. Dave, you can do that stuff. But, you know, that's just not me because I really don't believe it. I'm like, all right, fine. You don't have to believe it.
Like, yeah.
I can tell you that the guy is cool. I don't have to believe it. So I have one of my friends that he's in the military.
I need you to move again. The energy is pouring through so strong that you're breaking up a little bit. Okay.
Hello?
Good.
Am I clear?
Yeah, much better. Yes.
Okay. I was saying that.
Nope, now you're not clear. Okay, just turn a little bit to your right.
Hello?
Perfect.
All
okay.
Right.
So when you begin to work with people, some of them are ready and open, and some of them are so scared that they try not to believe it, right? David, I think I lost you. Hello? David Thompson, can you come back online? Hello?
Mary, it's Paula. It looks like David, either the line is, I don't know if he's on a cell phone or what. Well, we can kind of wait a little bit and see, and then I can try to call him.
Okay.
And see if that'll work. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, while we're waiting for him, I will just talk a little bit about the spiritual development, and when we work together and we share the energy, and the old expression where two or more are gathered, the energy just builds. It does. It's not like one and one is two. It's like one and one is maybe about four, and one and two is more like six or seven, and the energy is multiplied. And when you work together and you work without expectations, but you work without rules and without demands that you have to do this, and because everybody is totally different, There are many different ways of the paranormal, which, for example, and to me, this what they call paranormal is our birthright that we have civilized ourselves out of. But many of the gifts that we bring in, there's the clairvoyance where you it translates to clear seeing, where you are seeing things that other people haven't seen and aren't even looking for, and clairaudience, which is clear hearing. And the clairgustience is where you have tastes and you have smells, and it's nobody else in the room is smelling them. I had one earlier this evening myself. I smelled my daughter's perfume that was her favorite, and she passed away May 20th. So here she is, and I'm smelling her perfume, and I know she's with me. So these things, some people are clairsentient. They just know something, and they cannot tell you how in the world they know it or why they know it, but they know it's the truth. Some people get chills all over, or their hairs raise on their arms, and they know that something is true, even though they can't prove it. So these are all things, and David is quite remarkable, and we were very, very lucky to be able to share his experience.
Mary?
Yes.
Mary? Yeah, David's back on the line, so I'm going to bring him back on. Okay.
Fantastic. Yes.
David?
Hello.
Hi. Okay. So I was just talking about the different ways of being what other people call psychic, and all these gifts, I'm convinced, is our birthright, which, you know, we've civilized ourselves out of. And I'm so thrilled to hear your very clear and very logical progression of the way you stepped into your real power. What do you feel is the best thing that has come from your opening up to spirit and to your more of your true self?
I think the best thing I have to say is knowledge. The knowing of knowing that there's so many possibilities in every way. Like the astral projections, they're fun, and you can have some great experiences. Being able to talk to your past one, that's always a blessing. And
mm-hmm.
to be able to heal. But like this show right here, and getting out the word and passing that knowledge on, I think that's one of the most important things to let other people know, because people talk about sins in their religion. I think it's a sin to hide people's true nature and not give them the option to decide if this is what they want in their life.
Oh, you are so right. I think that the sin is waste, and the absolute worst sin of all is wasted human potential. And you
mm-hmm.
have just said it so beautifully, and you're just you are touching on so many things that I have, of course, I've been doing this since before you were born, you know. But the amazing thing is that people are beginning to be more open to this. I mean, when I was your age, you know, it's only weirdos and freaks were into this,
yeah.
You know. So you do spiritual readings. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I've been doing spiritual readings for about like 2-3 years. What I usually do is I would end up going into a trance, and I will go from there. I'm more of I just get visions.
Mm-hmm.
I used to feel like very intensely about people's emotions and feel things that they were thinking about, and I kind of slowed that one down because everybody got the thought and everybody got the emotion, so that kind of gets a little tough. But other people can handle it.
You know, one of the things that I do is I have something that I call my psychic security blanket, and
mm-hmm.
I teach people how to protect themselves from the emotions and the kind of things that you are describing, and from the negative vibes, as we call them, you know. So
mm-hmm.
Sometime when you're ready, I certainly would be happy to teach this to you. It will make
okay.
a huge difference. Oh yeah. Yeah, I am an empath myself, and I feel what other people feel. You know, I feel their pain. I feel their emotions. I feel all kinds of things, and it used to just completely debilitate me until I was actually taught by spirit how to protect myself. And I just pass that along. Any time someone is as sensitive as you are, and I felt that was so strong that I think we really ought to work together. So, and it will be my gift to you. So.
Oh, yes, I would deeply appreciate that, man.
Oh, sure. It's we, you know, as you said before, we have to work together, because
yeah.
any time you strengthen another person's ability to reach out and share this with other people, because the people that you can reach may not be the same people that I can reach. And it takes, as someone once said, it takes a village. It takes more of us working and reaching out to each other and strengthening our abilities.
Yeah.
So
I believe that too.
I'm sure you have much to give me, and I have much to give you.
Mm-hmm.
And that works beautifully. If we can trust each other and reach out, and each of us, it intensifies the other person's gifts, because the energy that flows through spirit, it can just make such a huge difference in our lives.
Yeah, it truly can. It truly can.
So it's sort of who heals the healers.
Yeah. I was always in a state of healing, never being healed. And that has been my most recent adventure, because I was healing everybody. I was always just giving, pushing out. And
mm-hmm.
I learned that how useful could I be if I do not concentrate on myself also, if I don't send that same love to myself.
Uh-huh. Well, because, you know, I learned surprisingly in a lecture, I learned the difference between spiritual healing and psychic healing. And the way of the psychic healer is to sort of use their own energy, and they wind up just worn out by the healings, and they can't do too many. And what I do normally is I open my crown chakra and pull in the creative force and the healing energy from the universe. And what will happen is every time I do a healing, I get a healing. So
beautiful.
So that is tremendously exciting. But it took me years and years and years. And sometimes people would say to me, "Oh my goodness, this takes so much out of you." And I would almost turn white, you know. And I would say, "I'll be fine, you know. Take the breath and take the breath," and then I was okay again. But I have known healers that could only do, for example, two healings a day, and yeah. they'd have to go to bed, you know. But
that's how I started off, also.
Uh huh. But so once I learned that universal healing was available and how to tap into it. I mean, I've done as many as 29 healings in a day, you know, and come back and wound up doing a 3-hour multi-life therapy after doing those 29 healings. Because it wasn't my energy that I was using. It was like I'm a lightning rod, and it's coming through me. It's pouring. I bring it in and let it mingle with my own heart energy and let it fill my being, and then let it keep flowing and flowing, you know. And that is something that I used to teach, you know, the students that I was working with, and it makes a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, I believe so. Also, if you can keep on energizing your vessel, I just keep on letting the energy pour down and through. It's an endless thing.
Yes. Yes, it really is. I remember once I was at an ashram, and this adorable little 3-year-old was saying, "How do you do that?" And I said, "Well, you know, the energy. I just transfer energy to other people." And she says, "Don't give too much of it away." And I said, "No." I said, no, this is God's energy, and God never runs out of energy. She says, "Okay." And she climbed up on my lap and went to sleep. But a 3-year-old, I mean, you tell them the truth, and they know it, and they believe it, and they feel it. And so it was fine. She says, "Okay." It was quite wonderful, you know. So, but yes, the earlier you get the confirmation from somebody that you trust, the easier it is, and the more naturally it flows. And that's why to me it was so tremendously exciting, because the energy that you had when you were young and you didn't know what to do with it, and you were in with the wrong companions, it wound up going in the wrong direction, which could eventually have really damaged you badly. But you had the good sense and the good fortune to get yourself out of that.
So
This is part of the miracle of David Thompson. And I do believe you're describing a whole bunch of miracles here.
Yeah, I believe it is so. I'm very blessed. I always say that to myself.
So what really can you see as your future now that you have touched in with some of your powers, some of the power that I actually think of myself as an instrument of divine purpose.
What I see for my what I see in the future, I'm currently trying to create an establishment in North Connecticut. What I want to do there is just give out information, give classes,
mm-hmm.
sell products, and
mm-hmm.
get more people involved. And not just to show them for fun, but I mean get involved on the base level. Like, we can already be on a different phase of reality. We can be on a way higher consciousness than we can even grasp in dimension.
Yeah.
But we have to weed out all of these problems that we have in our society as it is. Not like the results of the problem, but the core.
Yes, we can't just like the doctors who work on controlling symptoms. We can't work on the symptoms. We need to get down to the heart of it, and build the health. And we have to do it one person, one spirit at a time, and send them out to do the same. If we can inspire people to go out and do their work, then eventually, you know, this is going to just spontaneously explode.
Oh yeah, it's going to happen either way. At some point, people are going to get tired, and they're going to rise up, and they're going to realize the truth. Truth always prevails.
It does indeed.
Because when I say we have to get to the basis of the problem, I mean, like, there's all this pollution and poison in our air, in our water, in our food, and so on and so forth. We know this for a fact. It's well documented. And we do nothing. And at
That's
the same
right.
time, how this relates to spiritualism is it's killing our physical body. We're giving away our willpower. And most of the things that they're putting in the air, in the water, in the food is attacking the pineal gland, the physical third eye. Because
mm-hmm.
they don't want to just dumb down the consciousness or dumb down the intelligence. They want to shut off our connection to the higher realms and to our guides and everything else.
Right.
So I think the more that people can step up and try to correct the problem or not be the problem, like we'll be closer and closer to getting where we truly want to be.
Yes. David, could you tell our audience how to get in touch with you?
Yeah. You can look me up at rawenergetics.com. That's ra-energetics.com. And also, you can find me on YouTube. You can put in King David, or you can put in Raw Energetics.
Okay, good. And if you had a chance to speak to the audience members privately and tell them something that is really coming through you, through spirit coming through, what would you tell them?
That we need to change. We need to step up and be our full self. Discipline, meditate, and be holistic.
Okay, that's good. It's interesting that often when we are young, we're drawn in a certain direction, and then either our parents want us to do something, or there are our teachers decide that this would be good for us, or the guidance counselor says this is a wonderful career now because they need a whole bunch of accountants this year, or they need a whole there's a shortage of engineers, and the next thing you know, you get real good at something that is not where your soul wants to go.
Yeah, on that note, I definitely believe that people should just dive into what they really want to do. Like, what brings them joy? What makes them excited? Like, when they get that tingling feeling, like, go with that. Like, you don't have to listen to how Mary was saying to, you do have to listen to your teachers, but you don't have to let anybody rule your life. Because at the end of the day, you have to live that life. So you have to make sure that you're doing exactly what you want to do, where you feel that you want to be in life. Don't let anybody ever tell you no. Because if you think you can't, then you can't. But if you know you can, then you can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I believe we are sort of toward the end of our time here. And I just want to thank you so much for being so open and so free and so spontaneously yourself. And this is just incredible. I like to end these sessions with a little guided meditation. Would you be interested in participating in that?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so close your eyes. And everybody out there can close their eyes. And tense your body. Make your whole body a fist. Just tight, tight, tight. Your belly button, your toes, your scalp. Everything about you very, very, very tight until you feel yourself trembling and then collapse like a rag. Just collapse. And now, just now that your body, feel your body so relaxed, so comfortable. And this is time to just breathe. And grab all of the tension, all of the negativity, all of the fears, all of your doubts, and just blow them away. Just let it go. Imagine you can just float on that breath like you're riding a surf, and float in, float deep in. Deep and deep and deep. Float past the layers of consciousness. Deep inside to that very wonderful place within you of safety and peace and harmony and expansion and freedom. And just soak up all of that wonderfulness. Just let it heal anything that needs healing. Let it touch the spirit of you and magnify it so that you are you times you. So that you are you squared. That you are the greatest you that you can be. Take another deep breath and feel yourself welcoming in and filling yourself with the creative force and the healing energy of the universe. And just let it fill your being, just take it in and mingle. Make it your own. Your energy and the spiritual energy are one. This beautiful thing is something that you will always have with you, and you can do this anytime you want to. And with that knowledge, with that love within you, with that power that is truly yours, begin to float back to what some people refer to as normal consciousness. Take a deep breath. Stretch a little bit. Okay. And wiggle your fingers and toes. Open your eyes and have a wonderful, wonderful day, a wonderful evening, a wonderful life. David, again, thank you so much. And to you and to our audience, love and light.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.